So here we are again, my friend, with another exciting edition of Tallahassee Talks with Dr. Jerry Parrish in the house. He is the chief economist for the Florida Chamber of Commerce and the Florida Chamber Foundation. Bill Shack is with us. He's running for seat 3 city commission. We'll find out all about him, so stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
So, what are you going to do?
I don't know. My insurance company is telling me to take it to this one shop, but I don't know if that's the best thing to do.
It's your choice. It's not up to them. Have you told Jerry?
No, he loves that car. I wanted to take it to someone who would make it perfect, just the way it was, you know?
Yeah, well, you know Dan Hendrickson, right?
Dan Hendrickson.
The guy we met at that chamber thingy we went to, remember? He owns Capital City Collision Center. He was talking about the whole Gain Street thing, because he's down there by the stadium on Lake Bradford Road.
And you think they do good work?
You don't remember? Bobby's Jeep got rear-ended coming home from school.
Oh, that's right.
We had Dan fix it. It was great. And they're great to work with. And the guy in the paint shop is really cute.
Capital City did that.
Yep. I've got his card here somewhere. Here.
Okay. Capital City Collision Center.
Online at CapitalCityCollisionInc.com or call 575-9202. Curiosity comes when we find out that people like Dr. Jerry Parrish are talking, and they have a lot to say about local economy. He presented some of this information, by the way, at a recent Greater Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce public forum, their economic forum annual event. He was the keynote, the chief presenter. Would that be presenter-in-chief? Well, in any case, he brought to bear those numbers that are germane, the things that employers particularly want to look at when it comes to job opportunities, that pool of eligible employees. Big issue. Not to mention those on the flip side of that question, the prospective employees, those looking for work. Dr. Parrish pointing out that in the near future, and maybe for some time, Leon County's job market will be accelerating, especially in the businesses related to healthcare. And that doesn't exclude, that it actually includes assisted living facilities and such. Tallahassee, Leon County, generally getting a bit older, the resident population. And we learned last week from our friends at Choose Tallahassee that there's a rather concerted effort to increase that, to attract to our community older folks and the asset they bring as a population. Well, being that, if that's the case, and being that those folks in that age group, and I'll put myself in there, tend to have more health issues. Yeah, well, okay. So, delightfully and thankfully, our good friends out there at Tallahassee Community College have made it their business for a number of years to bring some of the very finest training in the health-related fields. Healthcare providers, we'd say, the nursing school especially and others. And for their part, I'm going to bring this to your attention. You got TCC hosting a part-time job fair March 28th. Okay, so that's coming up this coming week. And it says here, Tallahassee Community College will host its spring part-time job fair March 28th, 9 a.m. to noon. So it's not a whole day thing. This is like a three-hour event from 9 to noon, 28th. The Student Union Ballroom is where you want to go. says this job fair will connect individuals searching for part-time jobs with area companies looking to fill open positions. In addition to TCC students, Florida State University, Florida A&M University students, and all members of the community are invited to attend. How generous. Job seekers do not have to pre-register for this event. Business casual dress is required. So that business casual, you know, that means a little step up from the jeans and the t-shirt and your flip-flops, just in case you're not plugged into that idea. But yeah, business casual means, you know, usually nice looking clothes. Doesn't have to be a jacket and a tie, but that probably wouldn't hurt either. Anyway, attendees should bring copies of their resume. Free parking. If you want more information and a list of employers, here's the URL. You can go to TCC Future Link, all one string, tccfuturelink.com, and then /events. Got that? tccfuturelink.com/events. Here's a phone number for you. Stand by. 850, of course, 201-9970. So it's 201-9970. That's the TCC job fair. Half a day on the 28th for part-time employment. Well, let's see what else we've got. Got this lovely newsletter from our dear friend and county commissioner, Christian Dozier, who is so good about getting these out on a consistent basis. This is her own kind of personal newsletter from her and her office to all of us Tallahasseans, Leon Countyans. Is that how that works? So she's pointing out that Leon County government is adding new hydrants. Okay. In 2015, the county commission approved a program to provide additional fire hydrants to neighborhoods throughout the county. $100,000 set aside per year to install approximately 15 hydrants. Each one of these babies costs $6,500. But then again, if your house is on fire, I don't suppose you worry too much about that. The addition of hydrants and their proximity to residences is important. Makes sense. To help reduce homeowners' insurance rates. Now, there's the other kicker. Okay, well, thank you for that. Looks like they've identified 19 locations that are going to get new fire hydrants. I mean, this is big stuff. Breaking news. let's see what else we got going on. Well, there's on the 28th, Innovation Parks Tech Topics being presented, courtesy of Leon County Research and Development Authority at the Material Research Building. It's a free program. Tech Topics. Lunch will be provided. Hey, man. Free food, March 28th. Tallahassee Symphony Orchestra performing tonight. Ruby Diamond Concert Hall, 8 p.m. You can buy tickets at the door. Ticket prices vary based on your seating. Okay, so those are some items courtesy of our dear friend Christian Dozier, Commissioner Leon County. And I should say, just in fairness to her, she's very kind about talking. In this newsletter, she talks about being away from town and when coming back, how once again she's reminded, she says, how much I love our hometown. Yes, don't we all? Here's a note regarding FDLE. The commissioner of FDLE speaking at a women's history event. Let's see, when does this happen? This is at the FPSI Conference Center, Highway 90, west of Tallahassee and Gadsden County. That's Florida Public Safety Institute, hosting its 12th annual Women in History Month breakfast. This happens on this coming Tuesday, the 27th. Breakfast starts at 8 o'clock. We're a little meet and greet there. You can kind of rub shoulders with some folks, and then you're going to have breakfast at 8:30. That's all very cool. It's all brought to you by Florida Public Safety Institute and our good friends again at Tallahassee Community College. the guest speaker will be talking about. Nevertheless, she persisted. That's the theme for this year. Nevertheless, she persisted. Honoring women who fight all forms of discrimination against women. The speaker will be Jennifer Cook Pritt, who is the Assistant Commissioner of the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. All right, so there's some news there. Did you hear this? Proof Brewing. Proof Brewing Company is going to be moving over there to the old Coca-Cola building. I bet you've been asking yourself that question. Right? So, who's going to take that spot, the Coca-Cola building? Well, guess what? Proof Brewing is going to do that. They're vacating the premises there at Railroad Square. It'll give them the ability to expand their facility, that is their production, considerably. And in the process, create, according to this news item, 20 new jobs. So this came by way of the Leon County Office of Economic Vitality, wanting to identify that. So stay with me. I've got Bill Schack coming up in this first hour. He's going to talk with us at length about his bid for Tallahassee City Commission Seat 3. Stay with me.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Bill Schack grew up and graduated high school in New Jersey, came to Florida State University to play golf. But the FSU golf team was so good, he didn't even get a chance to try out. That's not nice. He immediately loved the FSU campus and the city of Tallahassee, so he decided to stay at FSU. He graduated in 1990 with a bachelor's degree in marketing and used his degree in the hospitality industry for over 25 years. Many people know Bill because of his work through restaurant and other hospitality efforts. He continues to do that work now, working for the homeless shelter. We're going to find out all about Bill Schack as we welcome him this morning. How are you, sir?
Great, thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
For those of us who are just getting to know this young man, he has even greater aspirations for our community in that he has thrown his hat in the ring running for seat 3 with the city commission. As many of you and I know, you probably know, that being vacated by Nancy Miller, she's decided to step aside and give others a chance. And so Bill is one of those folks who is very much interested in contributing to our welfare in this capacity. So, of course, the obvious question is, what were you thinking? You don't have enough to do? I mean, you don't have a job? I think that's not true. I think you're very busy. So
I am very busy.
What's going on, man?
You know, I announced almost a year ago on April Fool's Day, and I did that on purpose. You know, I posted about that only a fool would run for office, but I don't think I'm a fool. I think I'm someone who's just doing an extension of what I've been doing my entire life. I've been in the restaurant business. I've been a volunteer. I've been a community activist, if you will, involved in many organizations. And I just feel like this is the next step in what I've been doing in my career.
And in that capacity, how does that fit with everything you're doing now? Because, I mean, I mentioned the fact that you're still in the hospitality industry this time, running the food operation for the homeless shelter. I mean, that can't be a part-time position, right?
No, it's a very full-time job, but luckily, with the help of our community, which is great and incredible and has a big heart, we're able to have almost one organization every single day, every single shift, help prepare and serve a meal.
Volunteering your time.
So we do have such a great community effort going on in a partnership here in the city that it allows me not to have to be in that building 24/7.
Yeah. In that capacity, you think about serving individual needs. Is that sort of the downbeat for you when you look at we'll say local government, in this case, city commission.
Yeah. What I would argue, I've been very involved in politics at least 10 years and really involved, like paying attention what's going on. I've attended commission meetings and different other community meetings. And what I found was, with my experience in the volunteering and being involved in community organizations, like the American Cancer Society, Special Olympics, organizations that help special needs folks, and now the homeless shelter. We tend to spend a lot of money on projects and businesses, but there are organizations in this town, and I believe that they need funds to actually impact people's lives. And I think we have plenty of people and plenty of heart. They just need the funds to do it.
So in that way, you look at the last few years, you say that you've had opportunity to participate as a citizen in not only observing the operations, but being a part of those operations, being on site mm-hmm. with various city commission meetings and such. So what is it that is missing that you think you can bring to the table?
Well, as someone who's ran restaurants before and ran 9 restaurants at one point in my career, it's important to have a good team around you. And when you go to a city commission meeting, and I tell people this all the time, I challenge everyone, every citizen, to go to a meeting, just one. There's just such dysfunction at these meetings. It's these folks against another folk, and there's citizens that get up there and really let our city commissioners have it mm-hmm. As far as what we need to improve on and what we need to do. And that seems like our city commissioners are tone deaf at times.
You're referring to Mr. Jackson, perhaps.
Well, not him. There's other folks that go to meetings, every meeting, and speak their piece. And they have very valid concerns about the city, very valid reasons for getting up there about an issue. And it seems like no one's really listening at times.
When you and I were at the town hall meeting hosted there at FSU Broadcast Center, WFSU, Skip Foster moderating, he brought that question of dysfunction to the floor, didn't he? Particularly aimed at Commissioner Ziffer, who was publicly quoted saying, you know, this whole FBI investigation, the business of the CRA investigation, has left us as a commission in a dysfunctional status. Well, sitting next to him is Curtis Richardson, who's dramatically shaking his head. And so there was a moment there for Commissioner Richardson to take issue with that and say, you know, we're not dysfunctional. Now, you've just said there is a level of dysfunction going on. So what do you see in that maybe Curtis Richardson isn't?
Well, it's amazing that we have commissioners that think that. You know, you can't have an FBI investigation, another one, over your city and pretend like it doesn't exist. It does exist, and the citizens know it, and that's why this climate of crisis that is being created and talked about here in the city, we need to have some serious change, and we need new change. We need totally new leadership, not leadership that's connected to the past, not leadership that is connected in any way to Tallahassee. We need new leadership, and that's one of the reasons I jumped into this race, is I'm as new as you're going to get. I'm connected to nobody. I know nobody. Nobody asked me to run for office. No one approached me and said, hey, Bill, you've been doing such a great job in your community. You need to run for office. Mm-hmm. I felt like this was just an extension of what I've been doing. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing it for the right reasons. And the right reason is my city.
Do you worry about being undone? You get into a situation, you're sitting there with a group of folks, most of whom have been at this for some time. Mm-hmm. You know, they know how the process works. Does that concern you that
No.
somehow you're going to be thwarted?
Not at all. I've been a leader my entire life. I've had a history and a career of taking over restaurants that were in peril, losing sales, had low morale. My job was to go in there and fix it. My job was to go in there and turn it around. Yeah. I think the city of Tallahassee is like a restaurant that has low morale and low sales, if you will. Oh. And I think I could get on there and help fix it, find the problems. No one's going to look through a city budget more than a restaurant person, I think I'm going to have the skills to definitely do that, and I'm a leader that I think can do.
It's remarkable that this town of ours seems to attract the most inglorious headlines. This morning's newspaper reporting that we are leading the state in incidences of chlamydia.
Yeah.
So, all right, folks. Well, with that charming note, we'll continue this conversation in just a moment. I've got Bill Shack with me. You stay where you are.
Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts. People with their cars, we're number one by far. Bed liners, bed caps, toys to throw your money at. Car stereos, car alarms, things for all you soccer moms. Detail and diamond plate, parts to fix your tailgate. Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts. People with their cars, we're number one by far. Exterior accessories, gift kit for your mud needs. Mud ties, nice wheels, everyone will get a deal. Window tinting, that's a must. Come on out and visit us. Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts. Everything is here from A to Z.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
You're back. We're talking with Bill Shack, running for District, I beg your pardon, Seat 3, City Commission, and along with a couple of other contenders who have all said, well, we need a different way of approaching how city does business in this last even this last two or three years, we've been, I guess all of us have considered canceling our Netflix subscriptions because there's just way too much fun out here. A lot of drama with CRA issues and allegations of corruption and FBI investigations going on. It is my question there as to whether or not that makes us particularly unusual. I remember having Marianne Lindley talk with us months ago when this whole business with the CRA broke. And she was pretty frank. And, of course, she said, well, I'm not under investigation, so I'll tell you anything you want to know. But she said, you know, you got to look around the country. How many CRAs have been investigated by authorities? And she was quick to say, most of them. So she said, think about this. You know, you've got this pot of cash sitting over here, and you got a few people who are administering that fund who are in public office. And golly, people want to try to have a hand in how those decisions are made. And of course, depending on what's in their hand, might be the deciding question. When you think of those kinds of things going on, first of all, is it shocking? Does it surprise you?
No, it doesn't surprise me. What concerns citizens here in Tallahassee is that we use this money for project after project that is not what the CRA was intended.
How so?
Well, the CRA was intended to fix and help blight. Mm-hmm. And how many CRA projects are being done in the area of Tallahassee that has the most blight?
For example, where
would South Side.
Mm-hmm.
It's none. Mm-hmm. Yet we're carving out, you know, little pieces mm-hmm. behind buildings and are going to make these giant, mm-hmm. Properties that, and we're going to give them a $13 million tax break, property tax refund. And we're still giving a property tax refund to the building where the Walgreens was.
Mm-hmm.
How'd that project work out?
Mm-hmm.
I think we've got to start using this money for the right reasons.
Yeah,
right
I suppose the premise was if we invest well, private and public / CRA money, mm-hmm. we will be able to further the advancement of the downtown area and thereby create a 24-hour downtown, right? Mm-hmm. That was sort of the selling point on
right.
that. And your point is what? That may be good for a few, mm-hmm. but it's not good for the whole. It's not good for most of us, or it's just misplaced.
Well, I live in Killarn. I don't travel to, the unique thing about Tallahassee is we have pretty much four corners. Mm-hmm. And if you live in one part of town, you're very rarely going to the other side of town or mm-hmm. So
why is that?
I don't know that. I don't know the reason why, but it just seems that way. And if you live near, you know, in Killarney, you very rarely go to, you know, the Fred George area, you know, or, you know, Lake Jackson area. You just don't go over there very often. But if you're in Lake Jackson, you obviously stay around there. But I think we're not going to have the kind of destination downtown that people think. But if you keep on building apartment complexes and carve them in spots behind the courthouse and in little buildings, you're going to get some people there. But if that's going to be there, why do we have to continue to keep giving developers money to build it?
I think the premise for the whole Cascades Park expansion had in mind this would be a good thing for the general public. It would give us a sense of place or help add to that. I think Gaines Street was partly motivated that way. Do you agree with that or disagree?
Sure, sure. Yeah. I think they've done a pretty good job of trying to bring that area back. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you build something, you know, again, I don't sit in that seat, but if I did, why wasn't the question ever asked at Cascades Park, what about the sound? So now we're going to spend another $1 million or so to put, you know, to
sound
get some
buffering.
Kind of sound buffer and some other things to make the area not so noisy. So, but the people at Myers Park, when they complained about their neighborhood and the expansion inside their neighborhood, they put red signs at every single house, went to a commission meeting, the commission still voted to change their neighborhood.
Did you ever meet Alex Baker before he died?
I did not.
Alex, for those of you who don't know, was the mastermind behind the repurposing of the Tallahassee Mall, now called the center of Tallahassee. Well, tragically, prematurely, he died. And he died when that project was, by all accounts, maybe a third in, maybe midstream. Mm-hmm. The observation was that one effort probably represented the most significant hope for that northwest side of town you're talking about, mm-hmm. in terms of redefining the area, and not just economically, but in terms of traffic, being that it's on that corridor, I-10 and 27, mm-hmm. there's a lot of, we'll say, nefarious activity that goes on in some of those hotels. And it's remarkable when I talk to locals in those neighborhoods, they all know it. Mm-hmm. And certainly law enforcement knows.
Oh, well, that area definitely needed something. I mean, I went to school here. I spent, you know, almost 20 years here in Tallahassee, and Monroe Street always had a restaurant or a business that was closing almost all the time. It was very difficult to keep things open over there. Well,
you talk about the question, why wasn't this business of sound brought up early on in the development of Cascades Park? It just reminded me of Alex Baker's frustration with the commission, city managers especially, who were throwing up this idea that there was a sound ordinance he was going to be violating if he put Christmas music out there on his newly developed pavilion stage, right? Massive thing. Mm-hmm. So he canceled all the contracts.
Sure.
My question was, well, couldn't we have worked something out so that, you know, if there really is such a thing, and that was questionable whether it was even an ordinance at all, but if it did exist, well, can't we do something here? But it was a sort of hard line that it seemed to me was drawn. How do you propose to get involved in those kinds of conversations? Because that seems to me to be where the, you know, the rubber meets the road.
Well, you just got to make sure you're asking all the right questions. You know, again, if you get a presentation about a project, I think you need to have all the questions answered that you have about it. And, you know,
how do you find out what the questions are?
Well, you got to do your research. You know, this might be a part-time job, but you still got to do your research and your homework. You know, this is not, although I think the job's created or treated like a full-time job to some, this is a part-time job. But there's hours you're going to have to spend doing your research. And I guess they talk about staff all the time on the city commission. I'm not sure what that means, but I'm sure staff can do some of the work for you.
Some of the questions that I've come across, people have asked me, like I know anything, why is it that the commission, city particularly, seems so out of touch with, even commission meetings are held at a time of day which is very difficult, very awkward for most people to make, you know, make an appearance.
Sure.
Why is it that there isn't a greater embracing of new technologies, Twitter and Facebook, Facebook Live, you know, all this kind of stuff that doesn't seem to be too difficult to achieve. Would that be an avenue for us to be able to develop more of that kind of dialogue?
Well, I think that's absolutely what we need to do. You know, and a new city commission is going to be able to address that. You know, when you have folks that have been on the commission or been in politics here locally for many, many years, they get a little bit out of touch. And this is what we need to do with a new commission. And I think we're going to be able to do some of those things and give the, you know, one number one priority, you know, for a lot of us. You know, we're all going to have the same issues. All the city commission candidates are going to have the same issues in our city. It's how you use your experience and what you are plan to do that's going to make the difference.
He was a restaurateur for many, many years. And during his career, after being promoted as one of the youngest general managers in company history with Applebee's, Bill Shack was recognized as Team Player of the Year and Marketing Manager of the Year. And now he is making it his business to run for C3 City Commission in this next election. And he is our guest this morning. You stay with me. I've got more. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Bill Shack, running for C3 with the City Commission, our guest this morning. If you're a commissioner, how do you address that kind of, we'll call it disconnect, or between commissioners who apparently really have no power? I mean, they're just sort of talking heads that we can come and yell at, but it's really the people who are the employees of the city. That, I mean, you know, talk about utilities. I mean, it's, you know, the people who are actually running it that make those decisions.
Well, I think, you know, when you talk about the mayor is running for governor. And I think a lot of the decisions he's making over the past year are with that in mind. And maybe we need to bring back a rotating mayor. Maybe that solves that problem. When you have a mayor that seems to think that his decisions are bigger than the other commissioners when they're really not supposed to be, you know, we need a rotating mayor to make sure that happens. Now, the city votes on that mayor, the city commission votes on that mayor, and if they want to elect that person for 2 years and then maybe elect him for another two, that's up to the city commission. We can make that decision. But we definitely, the city commission definitely has to have more handle on the staff and the upper management. And, you know, here we are with, you know, nobody led on the city manager. Nobody led on that decision. They let the city manager dictate his fate, and I think that was wrong. And we need to have some, a little bit of say and communication with the, you know, department, utilities department as well. And there's a manager for that, probably two, that we need to be overseeing, and we need to be in that conversation all the time. So, you know, I think that's the way you do it, is we need to hold our people accountable for their actions.
If you were going to say, here are the top three issues that I think must be addressed in the coming 12 or 18 months.
Well, the number one is crime. I mean, we're number one in crime for 3 years in a row, yet we still don't have body cameras, which I believe will help the police officers. We still don't have a new police station. We have a 90-year-old building with triple the size of the department. Why are we still in the same building? We keep talking about moving it. Why don't we move it? Mm. Oh, well, now because it costs too much money. Well, there's lots of things that cost too much money. But when you build a new facility, you're going to create morale. We're having a hard time finding police officers. Mm. We need to create some morale to want to be a police officer. You know, we got to bring a DARE program or something like that back to schools so that kids are not afraid of the police.
Mm. Speaking of schools,
that's part of the problem.
Gun violence, threatening schools. What's your concern there?
Well, my concern is we need to put a program in school where, and again, that a DARE type program might help with that too. We need to put a program in school where kids don't bully other kids. Mm. You know, in my personal opinion, these folks that are out there protesting about guns, these are probably the same kids that are bullying kids in school. These are the same kids that aren't talking to kids at the lunch table. These are the same kids that are probably, you know, ostracizing a kid because he doesn't have the right shoes on or doesn't have a cell phone. Mm. That's where we need to start, teaching our kids to be a little bit more compassionate to other people. And I think that is a snowball effect that starts. We got to get in our school and get in our kids. Mm. You know, and the other issue is absolutely ethics. We need to earn the public trust again. City commissioners have to earn the public trust. That's number two. And if I had to give you a third one,
let me ask you this: how, on that issue of trust,
right?
How do you do that? How do you rebuild public trust?
Number one, you put the citizens. You get the citizens involved in the process. Mm. You know, having 30 minutes to speak and then having this magical cutoff where citizens don't get a chance to address the city commission. You know, if we've created issues that are going to have hundreds of people speak about it, that's our problem. We need to listen to all of them. So if it takes till midnight to get through a meeting because of the things that we've done, we need to hear it.
I know that there was some concern about the removal of trees, oak trees, in relation to the further development of the Cascades Park area, and all the demolition has begun.
Right.
You feel like that was handled well?
Well, if you're reading the paper, it sounds like they didn't even know the demolition was going to start, yet they were in negotiations or talking about it, but they've done it, and they've already started doing it. So how much, I don't believe those folks feel like they've had their say, or, you know, they feel like they've been heard. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's something I think we need to, our citizens have to be heard. We work for them. I mean, that's the way it is. So
you were about to say, I interrupted you, the third issue for you.
The third, again, this helps the entire community. I come from a place, and I've been doing community service work. Tallahassee has a big heart. There are lots of organizations in this town with great leaders who have great volunteers that have great missions to help people and help impact their lives. And I think when we're spending $2 million for this project and $800,000 for this project, we're not funding the people that are on the front lines actually helping people. And I think if we did that, we would see a bigger turnaround for people improving their lives, getting out of poverty, getting assistance that they need to help them move to a better spot here in Tallahassee. I don't think we do enough of that, and I think we should.
You talked about this early on, how in fact, and it's been described in various ways, scientifically, we'll say, in terms of social research, and anecdotally, just in terms of people's awareness of various parts of our community, these four quadrants specifically, the term segregation has come into the conversation. Mm-hmm. To the dismay of the Chamber of Commerce folks and others, this business of how it is that one population of people in a certain portion of the county, and even within one zip code, can be entrenched with poverty levels being exacerbated. I mean, they're just way, way, way over the top. And that's been going on for a long, long time. How do we bring those parts of our community that are otherwise segregated from one another into some kind of an exchange, some kind of connection that is more than just seeing one another occasionally at a shop, or maybe not even seeing each other at the grocery store?
Well, I talk on the campaign about tackling tough issues. These are the tough issues no one wants to talk about, and we seem to just let them go. We have commissioners that have been talking about this for 30 years that still haven't fixed the problem or remotely fixed it. In fact, it's gotten worse. Mm-hmm. You know, we keep talking about streetlights in neighborhoods, and there are still parts on the south side that don't have streetlights on their streets. Mm-hmm. They don't have sidewalks, yet we've been talking about these things for years and years. Why do we do that? We need to start getting the neighborhood to where it can feel like a neighborhood. And maybe the folks that live there will have an opportunity to create their own neighborhood. Mm-hmm. It's going to take help from the citizens as well. It's not just going to take help from the commission. Mm-hmm. But we need to start having these real tough conversations about family and about community. You know, it's not going to be solved by the police. It's not going to be solved by commissioners. It's going to take a really, really big effort by the community, the folks that live there, and the commission.
Bill Shack, everybody. He's been married to his wife, Holly, for 13 years. Poor Holly. And in 2008, they were quite fortunate to be able to adopt their daughter, Courtney, who, along with their dogs, Liberty and Brady, complete their happy home. Bill Shack, running for seat 3, City Commission. Bill, thanks for being our guest this morning.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Stay with me, folks. I've got more coming up in the second hour. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
So if you come to me and say, I want to buy a home, the first thing I do is say, okay, let's talk about the process. What can I afford? Not just the purchase price. What kind of lifestyle do you want to have?
Tiffany Hamilton, broker of Eck and Hamilton Realty, talking about the real estate market in Tallahassee.
Right now, for an investor, in my opinion, we should be looking at affordable housing. What that means is a price point of about $100,000 to $200,000 price range. For the investor, it's a rental income between $1,000 and $1,500 a month max.
Realtor, broker, consultant, Tiffany Hamilton is helping home buyers, investors, and other realtors achieve their individual goals.
Hi, I'm Tiffany Hamilton. Investing in real estate or buying a home has never been more challenging. Even finding solid information you can trust can also be a challenge. That's exactly why I began my career nearly 15 years ago, to help buyers and sellers overcome those challenges. As a broker, as a realtor, or a consultant, if I can help you achieve your goals, it would be my pleasure.
Call 850-366-8433 or online at tiffanyhamilton.com.
The most talked about topics in town, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Well, here we are. We're back with the second hour of this here fine radio show, Tallahassee Talks, with your humble host, Brian Cerny, trying to bring it all together for you in a couple of hours' time when we have people like Bill Shack, who was with us in the first hour, telling us about his candidacy for Tallahassee City Commission seat 3, and we have made it our pledge here to bring to you all three stated candidates thus far anyway. Jeremy Matlow was with us last week, and we have Bill this week, and then Rick Miner, who is also running. Some of that is processual. It's just the manner in which we do things that can be improved. Some of it has to do with focus, what we consider most important to our way of life and the improvement of that. In other ways, there's a discussion about equity and access, how we go about making available the resources that the city, particularly in this case, offers its citizens. And does everybody have equal access to those resources? How well is that communicated? How well is it provided? Is it efficient? And so forth. So anyway, for us here, we find it remarkable that the caliber of these people is another question altogether. I mean, these are good people. And I think we're fortunate that you have in this time, that is to say, in a time when being in public office has its downside. it's been admonished that, and I want to say it was Gil Ziffer who was quoted as saying, you know, tell people to run for office. Well, Commissioner DeLoge has echoed that sentiment. Who among us have the kind of brave and courageous sort of stance in life that we would do such a thing and you know, live to fight another day. I suspect that in any case, no matter what you're doing, you're gonna find it necessary to guard yourself and gird yourself with whatever kind of protective position you can occupy. You can try to brace yourself mentally and emotionally. And maybe you have to end up limiting access, right? You just can't always be out there 24/7 as a sort of, you know, bullseyed target. But that can be frustrating, because that's the whole point of you being in the office, is that you do want to be accessible. So there's a kind of dance there, I guess, a balancing act. Anyway, that's the business of running for office, and particularly running for city commission here, courtesy of Bill Shack's appearance today. If you missed it and you want to hear that entire conversation, as always, you can go to our website, TallahasseeTalks.com. It's available to you 24/7. My suggestion is that you subscribe to the podcast and listen at your leisure. But then again, we're always happy to have you with us here on Moose Magnificat Radio. If you're listening online at Moose Magnificat, you can do that by going to the website, moosemagnificat.com, and listen from any one of those options, the portal there, the player. Pardon me. And you can download the app to your phone. That's a very convenient thing to do. So you've got a Moose app. A Moose Mag app that works rather nicely, both Android and iPhone, so you can listen in. And when you're not listening to the show, you're listening to all of the music that we bring you, courtesy of the very fine musicians that are representing the sound of Tallahassee. Yes, my friend, Moose Magnificat is all local musicians playing their original songs. How cool is that? And yes, it's true. And in fact, hundreds and hundreds of musicians, songwriters, and performers that have sent us their music, and we continue to gather that as we go along the way. But it's in the hundreds now. And you don't know this, I mean, Tallahassee is a kind of haven for some rather remarkable musical talent, in my humble opinion. I think we see a lot of folks who often do not perform locally, but who live here and perform elsewhere. People like George Clinton and Danny Bedrosian, and even our good friends Boo Radley. I mean, they were telling me the other day, you know, they just don't play here as often. They're out and about because it's tough to find venues in Tallahassee that support local musicians. It's just that way. And so they got to kind of go where the money is. And even Thomasville apparently pays better than Tallahassee when it comes to musicians. So we got to look at that question, I suppose. In any case, that's Moose Magnificat. And, of course, we're also simulcast with our good friends at Real Talk 93.3 FM in Tallahassee. So if you're listening on Real Talk FM, glad to have you with us. It is a pleasure. We now have been on air, 7 years. So we're in our 8th season, bringing you all that Tallahassee is talking about this week, from week to week, as best we can. We try to bring you the things that we think are most pertinent to our way of life here in this fair city, and especially staying in touch with the topics that seem to occupy a lot of the conversations that aren't necessarily presented publicly. Does that make sense? So the stuff that gets said behind the scenes, a lot of that discussion that goes on, and I'll give you a perfect example of that. It has to do with this question that Dr. Parrish is actually going to talk with us about here. He's coming up in just a moment. He is the chief economist for the Florida Chamber of Commerce, Florida Chamber Foundation. Remarkable individual, great guy. Just scary smart, okay? All right, so let me just tell you, this guy knows his stuff. He's the guy you want to talk to when you're asking the question, how are we doing economically? Okay, so Tallahassee, Leon County, North Florida, he's got the numbers. But he's also got some interesting numbers about, we'll call it income segregation. Even the business of entrenched populations within our community. And this is the kind of conversation that goes on oftentimes out of the public view when it comes to how, again, we offer not just aid, but opportunity. And so, you know, Tim Center is over there grabbing his head saying, man, I'm doing everything I can to make that more likely to bring those resources and tools and opportunities to people who find themselves entrenched in an impoverished situation. And some of the statistics, too, that accompany this, having to do with a single parent raising children, and how critical it is that they rely on public assistance for childcare. That's just one of the things Dr. Parrish will talk with us about, and he is about to join us here in just a moment. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
When you place a document in someone's hand, it should reach more than their head. It needs to reach their heart with compelling visuals and dramatic presentations, right down to the paper it's printed on. Rapid Press reaches the hearts of thousands of people every day with commercial printing and mailing services for organizations that feed and house children, for businesses that bring vital products and services to our community, and for theaters, festivals, and orchestras reaching bigger audiences and bringing joy to life. Rapid Press commercial printers since 1983.
For digital printing, offset printing, finishing, and mailing services, reach for Rapid Press. When you're ready to share your vision, excite your customers, and reach the hearts of your audience, reach for Rapid Press. You'll find them online at rapidpress.com or call 893-7346. 893-7346. Rapid Press, the power of print.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Dr. Jerry Parrish is the chief economist and the director of research for the Florida Chamber Foundation. And in that role, he is responsible for conducting in-depth analyses on the Florida economy and on solutions to help secure Florida's future. He is currently an adjunct instructor in the Master's in Applied Economics program, Florida State University, earned his bachelor's in agricultural business and economics from Auburn, master's in business from Bellarmine University, master's of science in economics from University of North Carolina at Charlotte, and his doctorate in economics from Auburn University. Regularly publishes research reports and articles on the Florida economy and Florida's competitiveness. Let's welcome to the show Dr. Jerry Parrish. How are you, sir?
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
It's a pleasure. Is it frequent for you to bring that sort of inclusive perspective, that broader perspective, the whole story, you might say?
It is, and when I speak to business groups around the state, and not only me, it's my boss, Tony Carvajal, who's the executive vice president of the Chamber Foundation, and his boss, Mark Wilson, who's the CEO of the Florida Chamber. We talk about poverty no matter where we are, and one of the things we show is on the Florida Scorecard, and that's our data website that's free and available to use for everybody. You can find it at www.thefloridascorecard.org. There's not only poverty rates for every single county in this state, and you know, third grade reading scores and all the metrics that are important to our future. You know, it's for every single county, and it's available to where you can click on the website. You can download a chart. You can download the raw data. You know, make your own presentation. But we want all the business leaders around the state to use numbers to see how we're doing on these important metrics. I see that there is a lot of opportunity here in Leon County. But also, one of the things we track on our Florida scorecard is the metrics from the book and the website, How Money Walks. So you can click on the website and see every single county in Florida and where people have moved into and left and gone to, and it's weighted by their adjusted gross income. And you will notice that that Leon County is one of the counties who have a negative number attached to it. But quite honestly, a lot of that is college kids who come here to get educated, and then they leave. The number one place weighted by money is King County, Washington, for Leon County. So people move into Seattle, and you can assume that a lot of those are people who have graduated from FSU, you know, maybe FAMU as well. The same phenomenon happens in Alachua County. So Gainesville students at UF are also that way. But you can track where the money is moving to and moving from. And it's surprising. There's a lot of people in North Florida from Miami-Dade and Broward counties who may have retired up here or moved up here to take jobs. It's a fascinating look, and you can see that on the floridascorecard.org.
That is a good resource, isn't it, that Florida Scorecard? And your team responsible for creating that. And I think you made mention that if we want to contact Florida Chamber, that actually comes to your email inbox, right?
Exactly.
So if I really want to annoy you, I have a means to do so. Huh?
Well, we get interest in these numbers and people wanting some explanations, further explanations.
Right.
And sometimes they want numbers that aren't on the scorecard, and we're glad to help them. But yes, when you hit that contact us button, it comes directly to my inbox.
Yep.
And I wouldn't want to leave TCC out of it, because they're doing things like one of the things, and I spoke over in Gadsden County recently, one of the things that TCC does is give scholarships to kids from Gadsden County that have a 3.0 grade point average or higher. They get their first year at TCC for free, you know, no tuition.
Wow.
And that's a great program that's helping economic development in this state. And I have to give my, you know, tip my hat to Dr. Jim Murdaugh over there and his board who've come up with that program. I think that's an awesome way to help develop, you know, the counties in this area and give opportunity to kids that may not be able to get it any other way.
And especially Gadsden County, which when we look at it from your vantage point, is even less pleasant, even more disturbing in terms of economics, in terms of household incomes, right?
Well, I think you'll look, and I've done a lot of research on this, and some of it's been misused, to be blunt, but I've done a lot of look at the counties that have, you know, which counties have more jobs now than they did before the recession. And it's a nationwide trend that the rural counties have done less well than the more urban counties, you know, and it's not just in Florida, and it's all over the country. So there's still quite a few counties who have less jobs now than they did before the recession, not just in Florida, but around the country. And that's one of the issues when you don't have a metropolitan area like we do here in Leon County. You take all the rural counties surrounding us, and in a lot of cases, their job growth is substantially slower than it is here in Leon.
Right.
And, of course, the bigger metro areas are doing the best now. So, you know, Orlando and Jacksonville and Miami and Tampa are doing really well. And it's that way all over the U.S. That, you know, when you look at the rural counties, especially in North Florida, but there are also some in South and Central Florida as well, that they're not doing as well as far as terms of job creation and opportunity. I'm going to get a chance to speak at the Apalachicola River Conference here in the next couple of weeks. That's one of the things I'll be focusing on, you know, the counties that are on both sides of the river. And, you know, they're under that same exact phenomenon that's happening all over the country.
We're talking with Jerry Parrish. He is the chief economist for Florida Chamber of Commerce Foundation. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557. Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back. We're talking with Dr. Jerry Parrish, Ford Chamber Foundation, talking about Leon County and Florida's economic health. In addition to some of those more disturbing elements, we'd say, or issues concerning families that are impoverished and remain and seem to be entrenched, or we seem to be struggling to find a way to bridge that gap. And I mean, I know there's a lot of effort, United Way particularly, and I know that you had a direct hand in developing the ALICE program, right? ALICE, no?
I was one of the research team for the Florida report, but I don't want to take credit for developing it.
Oh, come on. I'm sure they wouldn't mind. No. Okay, well then let's make sure that we understand that you contributed in that capacity. And for those who don't know, this is an asset-limited, income-constrained individual who is employed. So that's the ALICE acronym, Asset-Limited, Income-Constrained, Employed. And I've said to the folks who were listening before that it's somebody who's landlocked and they can't really make a move in terms of their own income without giving up some benefit that they have via, social welfare provisions. You've done a lot of work in that area too.
Right, and not only me, but some of my grad students at FSU have done a lot of work on that, and that really helped me understand it. What I did was, after the student project, I wrote a 16-page report that talks about the fiscal cliffs. And basically, a fiscal cliff is somebody who comes, who is in that situation where a marginal increase in their income makes them lose that social program that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And it's especially difficult on people who have young kids that are in subsidized child care. That's the biggest cliff mm-hmm. that people have to navigate. And so in what my paper wrote about was how that distorts the labor market. And it does all over the state. Somebody can't take a raise. They can't take a promotion, or they won't work those extra hours because they know if they do, they'll lose some program. And they gain a few dollars by working, a couple hours extra, but they could lose literally thousands of dollars worth of benefits, and it mostly affects young kids. And so, what my paper said is it was written to the business community, and it said, hey, understand that this is happening. It's not fair to business. It's not fair to individuals. And if we could just make a more linear path out of poverty, instead of something that where you're faced with multiple cliffs on the way out, that it would distort.
So it would be incremental. Let's say I take a certain X number of dollars increase in pay, but there's a commensurate then sort of gradual tapering off and not a complete loss of those benefits, right?
Right. The tapering, the gradual tapering is what you would want, where people still have incentives to make more money, work more, come back into the workforce even. That gives them the opportunity to make more. And, we all know how expensive it is as business people to retrain someone. What if you lose somebody because they can't, they can't get in the labor force? And you have to retrain somebody. That's a serious cost for business in this state.
I'm going to ask you to do something that economists hate doing, and that is to interpret that from a cultural perspective. Do you think it's our presumption then about this population?
I don't believe that. What I think is, we've gotten a bunch of combination of federal and state programs that, have distorted the labor market. But we have so many people who are willing and able to get out. We just can't trap them in with a big cliff. So I see things, programs that I've seen around town. I've noticed the Capital Area Community Action Agency. And they're
Center.
Getting ahead instead of just getting by. I know that's the wrong name.
I forget now, too. But
it is called the Getting Ahead Program.
Right.
And I've seen what they've
done. It's a retraining, basically, isn't it?
It is.
Teaching them how to balance a checkbook.
And exactly. A lot of skills that maybe they didn't learn, from their parents.
Right.
And it's just, skills of living, it's social capital, it's matching mentors, who are in the business world with people who are, really trying hard to get out of poverty.
Okay.
And so those things work.
So these cliffs you're talking about are the result of unintended consequences, we'd say.
Right.
So nobody positioned themselves to say, well, these poor people, this is what they're going to need. But we've let that accumulate over time. And like you say, maybe there's a kind of layering of state, county, city, federal provisions, and you end up creating that situation unintentionally for these people who then are in an Alice situation. They're landlocked.
Yeah. Right. And I've heard from employers. I was sitting in a meeting one day, and an employer said, listen, this is how it works in our business. I have people bringing calculators to job interviews, and they will sit there and calculate, what the salary means to them, this new job that they've just been offered, and whether they can still
afford
that job and keep their kids in subsidized child care. That's the biggest thing that we see. So it mostly affects people with young kids. It's not such a big cliff for other groups of people. But keep in mind that when these young kids, if they can get a good start to their schooling, get moving in school and do well as they go into public school or wherever they go, one of the things we key on is third grade reading scores. Kids that fall behind at that point,
not a good thing.
Really hard time. So, what we can do to make their family life smoother, and keep those kids in some, some good
that first 8
situation.
Years, particularly first 5 years developmentally, but educationally, by third grade, you've got some strong indicators, don't you?
That's why you see on the Florida scorecard, that's one of the key metrics that we track, third grade reading scores.
Okay.
It's on there for every single county.
Interesting.
And it's on there for the state.
Because that's a predictor for you. It's a predictor variable.
It is. And there's a couple of things, and I've said this in public. You give me about 3 metrics to show how a county's going to be doing in the future.
Yeah.
I would pick third grade reading scores. I would check, improvements in the poverty rate. And I would also pick, the amount of people, how the job market is doing for them right now.
Yeah. So level of employment generally.
Of employment, are they increasing
over time? Yeah.
Because, there is some momentum there. If you're doing well, businesses are more likely to come. But high school graduation rate is another one. So take those metrics and you
there's your future right there.
That will be a big predictor of the future.
And in that regard, Leon County is doing okay. We could do better.
Leon County, every county could do better. Leon County's really good at high school graduation rate, above the state average. And, okay. You know, we've come up in this state by many, many percentage points. It's not been that long ago to where we had barely over 50% high school graduation rate. One of the things I ran last year was, at the end of the school year, a little metric. In 2017, 37,908 public high school kids did not graduate with their cohort. Mm-hmm. And that's a big number. You know, that's nearly 20% because we have just barely
across
Florida.
37,000.
37,908. Mm-hmm. And in Leon County, that was 155 kids. Mm-hmm. And we know some of them will end up graduating or getting the GED.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Leon County's got some really good numbers here, but that's still 155 kids. You know, what's going to happen to them?
Right.
If they don't graduate from high school, on average, they'll make $250,000 less than the kids that do. And Florida runs on sales taxes. Now 78%, number just changed, of our general revenue as a state comes from sales and use taxes. Mm. We need people making as much money as we can get them to make and spending it on taxable goods in Florida, because that's that's more than $1 out of every $4 out of our state budget.
Wow. He is the chief economist for the Florida Chamber of Commerce Foundation. Dr. Jerry Parrish is our guest. You stay with me. I've got more.
When you place a document in someone's hand, it should reach more than their head. It needs to reach their heart with compelling visuals and dramatic presentations right down to the paper it's printed on. Rapid Press reaches the hearts of thousands of people every day with commercial printing and mailing services for organizations that feed and house children, for businesses that bring vital products and services to our community, and for theaters, festivals, and orchestras reaching bigger audiences and bringing joy to life. Rapid Press commercial printers since 1983.
For digital printing, offset printing, finishing, and mailing services, reach for Rapid Press. When you're ready to share your vision, excite your customers, and reach the hearts of your audience, reach for Rapid Press. You'll find them online at rapidpress.com or call 893-7346. 893-7346. Rapid Press, the power of print.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're talking with Jerry Parrish here. He is the chief economist for the Florida Chamber of Commerce Foundation. So to me, there's been a sort of heartening response to that whole problem from their side. You agree?
I do, and I really have to point out a couple of things. Not just TCC, which I think really are training the people that the market is demanding right now. Mm-hmm. What's been, a couple of things have encouraged me. One is we wrote a report called Florida Jobs 2030. That's mm-hmm. talking about the jobs we're going to need for the future. Mm-hmm. It was sponsored. We got research money from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to do this report. And what was, probably the high point of my research career is when all of our Florida college system, our state college, our two-year colleges, have adopted that report and started working their curriculum toward producing those graduates that we say we're going to need. Mm-hmm. And the beauty of these industries is there are entry points, and you don't have to have a college degree to get into these industries. Mm-hmm. Once you get a high school degree, there's opportunities in. You get a chance to get more training and move up the ladder in these industries, and there's some really good jobs. Mm-hmm. It's things like advanced manufacturing and just, healthcare. Mm-hmm. Healthcare is a great need for the state of Florida. Mm-hmm. And we see community colleges like Tallahassee Community Colleges doing a great job at responding to the market.
Yeah.
We also see our friends at CareerSource Florida responding to the market, providing training to get people that want to work into a career. One of the big things we see is there's a big, big need for, we call it employability skills. A lot of people call it soft skills. Mm. But this really came out in that Florida Jobs 2030 report.
Going back to what Tim Sender had initiated when he came on board, right? As an example.
Right.
Teaching people how to balance a checkbook.
Yeah, and teaching people how to show up for work and work together with their teammates and solve problems and those employability skills.
Right, right.
You know, a lot of people, fortunately, Florida's got an advantage. You know, we've got this monster hospitality industry in this state. You know, what employers that talk to me are finding out is if they need somebody with a technical skill,
right,
it's easier to take somebody who's got really good employability skills, help them get a technical skill.
And train them.
And train them,
yep,
than it is the other way around. So our tourism industry has been a great provider of, you know, highly trained people for all the businesses in the state of Florida.
Yeah.
And so Florida's actually got an advantage when we look to the future in this metric.
It's that level of personal, I guess you'd say, accountability and self-discipline and that kind of stuff. I brought up Tim Center because I remember him saying, you know, the biggest challenge for them was to help this individual realize the big differences in blue collar, we'll call it, working class versus a middle income or white collar sort of environment. You know, he said in their world, you dig the ditch, you were asked to dig the ditch, you did it, job is done. But in a professional setting, you wrote the press release. Now you have to edit it and resubmit it. And that makes no sense to them whatsoever. Why are you asking me to do this over again? And it's almost insulting. You know, I did the job. Well, what's the deal? And he said it's that kind of acculturation that takes time and for people to begin to realize this is how it works here. If you want to stay employed in these kinds of settings, those are examples of the kind of skills you need to have. But that's the time that they may not have if they're working 8-9 hours a day taking care of the kids. So that becomes an additional challenge, doesn't it?
Right. It does. You know, a couple of the really big things that people face are not only child care. You know, that's a big issue. Not only the cost, but getting, you know, the transportation to get their kids to child care and get to work. So when we think about helping people get out of poverty, you cannot overlook the transportation issue. It comes up time and time again. It's one of the big issues in the state. We've just done a project that where we've gone around to every single county in the state and done town halls, and it's called Florida 2030. Mm-hmm. This is our strategic plan for the state of Florida. And literally, we've had more than 10,000 people live in rooms, you know, talking about the future of Florida. Transportation's a big issue around the state. Honestly, affordable housing is another issue that people are struggling with in a lot of parts of the state.
Wow.
Not as much here as it is in Central and South Florida. But there's a lot of issues that we're working on, you know, with this project. Mm. We'll be out with the results of it over the next few months. But I think it'll be something that people will want to read, people will want to pay attention to, because it literally is a privately funded strategic plan for the entire state. And it's something that the Chamber Foundation does about once every 10 years.
Mm.
You know, they used to be called the Cornerstone Reports.
I remember
this
that.
One is called Florida 2030.
Okay.
And it'll be out, you know, over, we'll release it in several different parts over the next several months.
Okay. Now, remind us how we can find those resources, the website again, right?
Yes, the Florida Scorecard you can find at www.thefloridascorecard.org.
Okay. Thefloridascorecard.org.
Right.
Okay. Now, your email address, I don't need to know, because all I have to do is just say contact, and that'll show up in your inbox.
At the bottom of the Florida Scorecard, it says contact us. That means contact Jerry.
And then I just need to know, is that going to show up like on your cell phone while you're out there, at, you know, looking at the alligators lakeside and you're just relaxing and bing, here comes the email from Brian again.
It does, and it comes in at all hours of the day and night.
This is wonderful. I love this.
But I could turn my phone off, I guess.
Nah, don't do that. Then again, I might not be able to get you to come back if I abuse your kindness. Well, Dr. Jerry Parrish, what a delight and a storehouse of information. And kudos to you for your pursuit of these topics that otherwise I think would remain unknown, certainly, and undiscovered. And I would say, too, in the future, we need to have you back more often. What else you got before you go?
Well, one thing I'm encouraged about, some of the people that are county commissioners were at the chamber breakfast that I was at the other day. And
yes.
They invited me to help with, along with the United Way, to do a workshop on Tuesday, May the 8th. Looks like the date it's going to be. So
yes.
I'm looking forward to doing that.
And that's open to the public?
I assume it is. It's open to the public.
Tuesday, May 8th. Okay.
And it'll be something that, you know, it's really encouraging that the county commissioners are really willing also to take a look at this issue, and let's start coming up with some solutions for Leon County.
Practical solutions. Wonderful. Thank you, sir, for your kindness, for your insight, for your pursuit of all those things that we need to know so we can do a better job at caring for this county that is ours and caring for one another. Dr. Jerry Parrish, our guest, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Folks, that's what I've got for you this week. Glad that you were a part of it. We are the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat, our online radio station. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. Associate producer, Alexandra Blackwell. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
So if you come to me and say, I want to buy a home, the first thing I do is say, okay, let's talk about the process. What can I afford? Not just the purchase price. What kind of lifestyle do you want to have?
Tiffany Hamilton, broker of Eck and Hamilton Realty, talking about the real estate market in Tallahassee.
Right now, for an investor, in my opinion, we should be looking at affordable housing. What that means is a price point of about $100,000 to $200,000 price range. For the investor, it's a rental income between $1,000 and $1,500 a month max.
Realtor, broker, consultant Tiffany Hamilton is helping homebuyers, investors, and other realtors achieve their individual goals.
Hi, I'm Tiffany Hamilton. Investing in real estate or buying a home has never been more challenging. Even finding solid information you can trust can also be a challenge. That's exactly why I began my career nearly 15 years ago, to help buyers and sellers overcome those challenges. As a broker, as a realtor, or a consultant, if I can help you achieve your goals, it would be my pleasure.
Call 850-366-8433 or online at TiffanyHamilton.com.